going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 11 o'clock here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. We'll talk plenty about the young upstart Washington Nationals after giving everybody a little bit of a scare in the first couple of series of the season. Finish out the homestand with a record of 4-2. Almost swept the defending World Series champion LA Dodgers. So a lot of positives coming out of this series for the Curly W's. We'll break it all down as we roll throughout the show. About an hour from now, coming up at about 8:45, our pal Bobby Blanco going to join the program. Nats insider for Masson.com. Going to give us his perspective on what has happened with the bunch here over the past six games. Today was interesting because innings 2-6, Jake Irvin looked like an absolute stud. Be honest with you. Looked like an absolute stud. Now, obviously, the tough start, giving up 4 in the first inning, is less than to be desired, but you got to be thrilled with his resilience. We'll talk about it as we roll throughout the night here. We'll also keep you up to speed on the Washington Wizards. Final home game of the season for the DC family. And what the Wizards and the Sixers are doing tonight, nasty work. Just nasty work. No one's playing. Me and producer Ben Strober in studio tonight, we might as well go do some Montgomery County 4A pick and roll. We can get some buckets against the Sixers.
Let's run a flex offense. That's easy.
What do you know about the flex?
That was QO's main offense.
Our main offense. There we go.
You stay in the flex no matter what. Even if the other team, one time we had a summer league game, we were playing Bolas actually, and the defense, we'd call out 1-4-70. That was our play.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys on defense was like, all right, there's going to be a back screen over there, right. And then they're going to run it up the down screen. And our coach said, you're going to run it no matter what. I don't care.
Plenty of Montgomery County flavor for you here tonight on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. We'll talk about the Caps as well. Massive, massive game tomorrow night as they play host to the Hurricanes. We all know what happened last week. Things got a wee bit chippy. So we'll touch on that before we get out of here as well. And then you know the affinity I have for the NBA. You want to talk about a slobber knocker of a night in the association. Luka Doncic making his return to Dallas and Nico Harrison, the GM that made this trade, receiving death threats. It's been terrible, all the things and the scrutiny that's come his way. He's got onions of steel. He is in Dallas at American Airlines Center tonight for the return of Luka Doncic, and it should be interesting to say the least. I'm sure a montage is going to get played. I'm sure he's going to get a standing ovation, but looking at where the Mavericks are, the basketball gods, man, I wish no injury upon anybody. But Kyrie Irving tearing his ACL, and then Anthony Davis and Gafford and Lively getting hurt, a direct correlation, in my opinion, to that terrible-ass trade that Nico Harrison made. We'll keep you up to speed on that all night long as well. 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Excited about that. 2 weeks and a day away from the NFL draft. Mel Kiper released a new 2-round mock. We'll look at that. Plus, we'll ask this question to you all. What is your dream scenario for the Washington Commanders for their first two picks of the draft? If they stick and pick at 29 and at 61, their first and second round pick, what would be your dream scenario when it comes to what positions they would ultimately take with those first two picks? And if you're really burning the midnight oil, grinding the tape, when you call in, you can give us two names as well. You can tweet at me. It's at @NELL_BTP. I want to get to the Capitals, though, before we get too far into the program here, because it feels like to me, now that the goal-scoring chase is out of the way, you know, now that, you know, Ovi's got the record, now we can focus up. Because I'll be honest here, I tweeted it out late Sunday night, about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and boy, did my mentions get talky hot. I said, you know what? Excited about the record being broken, but can we get back to the main thing? And I guess the record is the main thing, so terrible timing on my part, I will admit. But if we could keep the main thing, Caps have lost 5 out of 7. And I think there is something to be said about, you know, the way this group played over the past 10 games, trying to ensure that Ovi gets the record. Defense maybe tailed off a little bit. That's going to have to change. It's going to have to change quickly as they host the Hurricanes tomorrow night. You can hear that right here on The Fan as well. But if we've got it ready, I want to let you all hear from the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Spencer Carberry. He spoke to a contingent of media members today and had this to say about the Caps and their defense moving forward here.
That's an area of our game that sticks out to me as an issue. When we just need to tighten up. And I give our guys a little bit of a pass because of the circumstances surrounding the last 10 games. There was a lot going on, and guys, whether they want to admit it or not, and whether I want to admit it and acknowledge it or not, as much as I want to block it out, as much as I want to say no, we're strictly focused on the Winnipeg Jets, the Minnesota Wild, the whatever the opponent was, it's impossible to block the record and what was going on inside of the games out. So now that that's gone, now that he's achieved that, it's important that we pay attention to some things defensively, like you talk about, that we need to get back inside of our game, because I feel like we lost a little bit of that because we wanted to score. We wanted to help both score. We were a little bit loose. And I always say this in this league, if you lose just 5-10% of any type of detail, your defensive detail, that's enough to now you're giving up 5, 6, 7 more scoring chances. That's a goal and a half a game, whatever it might be. So that, I think it's a really important area of our game that we got to get back to making sure that we're looking after.
Caps looking to get defensive here for their final stretch of the regular season. I got to go ask Slick Vic Ferreira, because I don't want to sound like an absolute idiot in front of you hockey diehards. Caps have an opportunity to clinch the number one seed in the Eastern Conference tonight. They're going to be, everyone should have their eyes glued on the result of Toronto and Tampa Bay. If I'm not mistaken, I think if Tampa Bay picks up the W in regulation, the Caps would officially clinch that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And then you can really, I don't want to say get on cruise control here for the rest of the regular season, but you can start to worry about the defense getting defensive. I know there are a couple of injury updates with the Caps that we're still waiting on here. We don't know, or I don't know, I haven't seen it on social media today, the status of Alexi Protas. I know he had a cut on one of his feet, on one of his feet, that that may potentially keep him out of the lineup. We still are awaiting word as to when Logan Thompson will be back in net. So a lot of different questions to be answered here for the Caps as they get geared up for this Stanley Cup playoff run. I will say this. Now that the record is on the back burner, I hope what Carbs said is true. I hope there is a shift in mentality. I hope there is an added attention to detail because they need it. This has been a super special season. Obviously, you know, Sunday was the climax with Ovi breaking the record. But don't look now. You've got second most points in all the NHL. You look like you've got the chance to be a real juggernaut. And then if, you know, the puck bounces your way tonight, you have the opportunity to have the Eastern Conference playoffs come through the district. Like, that is, it doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it's NFL, hoop, hockey, Major League Baseball, that's a damn good thing to say.
I'm glad for your sake that we can have conversations like this because I was feeling bad for you on Sunday.
Yeah.
When people, man, you had guys throwing shots at you left and right because you were saying, hey, the record is great, but the Caps are not playing great hockey right now, which was true, but I guess people on Twitter, the folks didn't want to hear it at that point, and a lot of people came after you for it, but now it's something they can focus on it now because this team is primed for a deep playoff run.
I'm excited about it. And look, young Ben Strober, from one youngin to another. I mean, Twitter is the most toxic cesspool that exists when it comes to the DMV sports landscape. I don't even know if the people that were tweeting at me, if they were Caps fans or not. There is just this group, this cult of folks on Twitter that everything that I tweet, I get joned on. So now we're just going to Twitter real quick. So
where's that guy that impersonates you?
Talking about Longfellow Tidwat? I don't know. He's been muted. He's been muted for quite some time.
I found him for the first time. I was like, what is this?
Well, there you go. Throw my guy a follow, I guess. I don't know. I unmuted him here recently, so we'll see if I hear from him.
Okay.
So I just had a 14-year-old, or a 16-year-old is what he's saying. He DM'd me, and he's a big sports fan. Gave me some grief. You all can't see, unless you see the Twitter video that I posted to promote the show, I'm wearing what they call a do-rag on my head tonight. And first comment, I tweeted this at 7:35. At 7:36, the first comment rolls in. Didn't know we had Laremy Tunsil as an analyst on our team. So someone was trying to say that I look like Laremy Tunsil.
That's crazy.
That's very crazy.
Wait, but you said what they call a do-rag. That's not what it's called?
No, it is called a do-rag, yeah.
Oh,
some people call it a do-rag. You call it a skull cap, a scully.
I was like, am I behind the eight ball on this now? Like,
well, I'm about to say, yeah.
Am I too old already?
Well, man, don't rush yourself to age. I'll say that for sure. Wizards and Sixers just went to TV timeout. They've got 6:50 left to go in the opening half. I mentioned that it was kind of a joke what's happening between these two teams. Wizards doing their damnedest, rightfully so, to try and, you know, make sure they have the best possible chance to land the number one overall pick. And the injury report for tonight is long as Beltway traffic on a Friday afternoon. No Sadiq Bey, no Anthony Gill, no Rashawn Holmes, no Bilal Coulibaly, no Chris Middleton, no Jordan Poole. A lot of these guys you expected. This is where it gets ugly. Sixers without Joel Embiid, Paul George, Jalen Hood-Schifino, Kyle Lowry, Kelly Oubre, Andre Drummond, Justin Edwards, Tyrese Maxey, Kelly Oubre, as I mentioned. So, they're trying to tank as well. Whatever happens with the Wizards tank, and we'll play some audio for you a little bit later on in the show, Austin Rivers, former Wizard, actually, had just some very stupid things to say about the Washington Wizards organization and how equipped they are to land a player of the caliber of Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or Dylan Harper. So I can't wait to play that audio for you a little bit later on in the show, but if the Sixers, looking at it from Philadelphia's point of view and vantage point, just for a second, it honestly, I can't blame Philly for tanking because that's really the only way out of the basketball hell that they all of a sudden are in. And this is relevant to us here in Washington for a multitude of different reasons. The number one reason, obviously, is you don't want another team to infringe on your lottery chances. And then two, Big Josh Harris, my guy, managing partner of the Commanders. Are you okay with what's going on in Philadelphia? Are you okay with Joel Embiid and apparently the front office being on a totally different page? And when I say the front office, you got to believe, unless you're just ignorant, that Josh Harris is very much a part of this decision-making. And the talk around the water cooler in Philly is that they didn't want Joel Embiid to get this season-ending surgery. Why? I have no clue. I don't think that I'm gonna give Josh Harris the benefit of the doubt and say that that was a Daryl Morey type of decision. Because if you are the Sixers, the only way you get out of this situation where you inherited a terrible Paul George contract, you're old, you're beat up, the only way to get out of this is if you land a franchise-altering talent in the lottery within the top five and they're on a cheap contract and they can help you get off of this. Because moving forward, how do you move off of Joel Embiid's contract? Who would want that? And it's crazy to think because this time last year, I mean, Joel Embiid was talked about like the savior of Philadelphia. I remember going into that playoff series against the Knicks, how important it was for him to return back to the lineup. Josh Harris is going to have to wipe his hands of a lot of filth in Philadelphia with their basketball team for sure.
I feel like the 76ers are in a situation that the Wizards were in not so long ago. And for for so many years, obviously it finally got rolling these past couple years with the rebuild. But back in 2018 when John Wall tore his Achilles, and that was an opportunity right there. You could just start tearing it down, but you know.
Pun intended, huh?
Wizards franchise didn't want to do that. They were reluctant to do so for so long until they eventually had no choice because of Beal's contract. And I mean, look what we have going for us right now.
It's beautiful.
I mean, this needs to be the blueprint. So many teams have done this in the past. Tanking works.
No, see, this is the thing.
But
there are levels to it. I think I'm glad that you brought this up because I agree with you. It feels like, and we were actually having this conversation in the Wizards media room like a month ago, myself, Chase Hughes, Bijan Todd, and Josh Robbins of The Athletic. Does tanking actually work? Because if you're the Philadelphia 76ers, how many championships have they got out of their tank? How many conference finals appearances have they gotten out of their tank? I think when you look at the teams that have won titles over the past several years, Boston, right? Boston drafted their core because they traded all of the Jason Tatum pick, the Jaylen Brown pick. That's all, you know, a byproduct of them moving off of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and those guys. So, like, tanking, I don't know if it works or not. The Wizards are going to find out. Like, the Pistons tanked. They had the worst record 5 straight years, couldn't land the number one pick.
I feel like tanking, it definitely gets you out of hell.
It's better than being in the middle.
It does get you to purgatory again, at least. You might not get to heaven in terms of getting the championships and conference appearances. Philly will tell you that firsthand. But you have to at least try. You got to get out of these bad situations where you are perpetually mid.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the NBA. It doesn't work.
It's the worst to consume that type of product as a fan because it's like, oh, there may be a month or a 2-week stretch where you feel like, oh, they're about to turn the corner. Maybe they're going to playoff run. And the next thing you know, you've lost 6 in a row. And now you're on the outside looking in the play-in tournament. So it'll be interesting. We'll keep you up to speed all night long on the Washington Wizards. Their final home game of the 2024-2025 season is tonight. So we'll keep you up to speed on that as they play host to what's left of the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk all things seam. Washington Nationals, 4-2 in the homestand, almost got the series sweep this afternoon against the defending World Series champs. We'll break down the Curly W's coming up next here on The Fan.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Just getting rolling here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the Augustine Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 11 o'clock here tonight. Wizards basketball on tap with us as we roll throughout the show. Also keep you up to speed on Luka Doncic and his return to Dallas. I saw a tweet from Dave McMenamin of ESPN, and waterworks going for old pal Luka. Look, I hope he gives Dallas 60 tonight. It still, in my mind, goes down as one of the dumbest trades I've ever seen since I've been following sports. I hope that Luka is able to have the last laugh, because the way that they talked about him on the way out was some of the most foul stuff you ever hear. And for his sake, you know, I hope that, you know, on the way out, or excuse me, for his sake, I hope that he is able to play well in LA. I know this year may not be about, you know, a title for them. And if you've watched them play, first of all, they should have beat Oklahoma City. What was it, last night? Should have beat OKC last night. That's just how you know the days are starting to blend for your boy. They should have beat OKC last night. Luka gets ejected, and then it's kind of was up from there. They beat Oklahoma City on Sunday. Beat the hell out of OKC Sunday. Shot the cover off the basketball. So the Lakers actually, in terms of their championship aspirations and hopes, a lot closer than maybe the general public wants to give them credit for. We'll keep you up to speed on Lakers and Mavs all night long. I want to get into the Washington Nationals here real quick, man. An old attaboy for the Curly W's, man. I remember, you know, early last week, you know, after you get swept by the Blue Jays, you're starting to feel like, oh, what's going on with this group? You lose the first game of the series against Arizona, and then the next thing that you know, you've won four in a row. Now, that streak obviously got stopped this afternoon against the Dodgers, but it's a damn good baseball team to lose to. And I see you all on Twitter. Somebody on Twitter, I'm forgetting the name. It's in that like Nats Discord channel, and they were complaining last week. We're so tired of hearing Davey Martinez say the same thing after a loss. What do you expect him to say? Baseball, what is it, 162 games? It's a long, long season. So, yeah, you're going to get a lot of quote-unquote manager speak from Davey. I think he does a really good job staying even keel, not letting them get too low, not letting them get too high. If you remember all of the conversation coming out of Jupiter, it was that, hey, this group is ready to take the next step. This group is, maybe no one outside the organization believes it, but everyone internally, we're not chasing 70 wins at this point. We're trying to be a legitimate wild card team in the National League. And I feel like after the way the opening series went against Philadelphia, who we know is on the short list of championship contenders in the majors, I already started to get a feeling of, okay, well, if you look good against Philly, and then obviously you got the rough series against Toronto. And shout out to Vladimir Guerrero, by the way. Can a brother hold something? Massive contract that he signed the other day. But, you know, you started to feel like, okay, are they real or are they not? And at that point in time, I was saying, look, it's a lot of season left to go. But when you start out, what was it, 1-6, 1-7, it starts getting late. Very fast. But obviously, man, they've been able to turn things around. And I think the most encouraging part about all of this and the main thing that I'll be looking for this season, we talked about it during spring training as we were getting ready to get geared up for the regular season. Full season of James Wood in the majors. Full season of Dylan Cruz in the majors. C.J. Abrams getting better and getting more power to his bat. K-Bear Ruiz, who was the sensation of spring training, been one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball to start this year. So a lot of positives with the group. And then today you got another really good sign. I know the numbers are going to say, look, gave up four in the first inning. And if you're being real about it, he's the reason they lost. You know, for being real, I'm not trying to put everything on Jake Irvin, but like, let's call it what it is. When you give up four runs in the first inning, I don't care how good you look, innings 2-6, like it's kind of tough to come back from. He looked good today, man. And he's looked good. Mackenzie Gore's looked good. Mitchell Parker's looked really good. Brad Lord's yesterday looked pretty damn good. So it feels like each and every series, each and every day, there's a major positive takeaway with this group.
I got to give credit to the Dodgers bullpen, especially in this one, because, yeah, Irvin gives up the four runs, the first four batters of the game. He retired 18 of the next 21 batters he faced to get through six on 103 pitches. The Nats offense didn't have a hit until the ninth inning. From the third on, the offense disappeared for six innings of the ball game. So, I mean, that just makes
it
really difficult there.
You're disappearing against a very handsomely paid bullpen is what I would say as well. So not a bad group to come up short against, so to speak. But I think coming out of this series, you got to feel like, man, maybe the talk in spring training is not all for nothing. Maybe it's not a situation where they were, you know, overestimating how good they could potentially be this year. You got to be encouraged. Got to be encouraged, especially the way, you know, James Wood is hitting it. We mentioned K-Bear Ruiz a moment ago. I know there was some concern amongst the fan base with how Dylan Cruz has started at the plate. And he had a, you know, really good at-bat earlier today that ended up in a walk. Like, so he's getting better. It just feels like, you know, as the season moves on here, if you can, and I'm, look, wins and losses for me at least is not how I'm judging the group, like I continue to say. But if each and every series there's something you could take away and say, you know what, during this 3-4 game stretch, player X showed me something I hadn't seen before. During this 3-4 game stretch, player Z, you know, it showed great promise. And I think that's what it's all about. Obviously, you want the wins to come, but as you begin to play more complete baseball, so to speak, the wins will start to come. As you mentioned, no hit between, what was it, third and the ninth? So it's a tough spot to be in.
We're seeing good things out of these guys who are supposed to be the blue chip players, essentially, for this organization for years to come. Kaber Ruiz has finally come around to play. James Wood, an unbelievable series, drove in 7 runs and, of course, 2 home runs yesterday. But that just brings you to the point where you have a couple guys in the lineup that might seem like weaker links at this point. Some of those veteran players, Paul DeJong playing over third base, and he's a good defender.
Well, we hope we get to a point where we're not seeing him every day.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's, yeah.
Eventually, we're going to see Brady House this year. We're going to see Robert Hassel the third, and you get excited that if you're competing somehow around that time of year and you get those young, fresh guys up here to try to mesh with some of these guys who have established themselves in the big leagues, it could be really fun to play some meaningful baseball in the summer.
Yeah, that's where I think it's going to be very interesting, right? When you get, how good do they have to be come trade deadline time for them to go acquire what I think they need is another arm? Like, if you can get another starting pitcher in here, am I off base with that? Or do you think it's something in the bullpen that's needed?
It's probably the bullpen at this point. I think the rotation, the injury to Hurst
kills. What I'm saying.
That's the biggest problem.
And Soroka's now banged up, so.
But you got a couple guys already in this rotation that have proven themselves as guys that can win you ball games. Irvin, phenomenal today, gutting it out through 6 innings. And really good stuff out of Mitchell Parker. He's a guy that I've been high on.
Money-making Mitch Parker.
He came into the big leagues last year, and he has just been really, really good. And the times where I've seen him in person throw 3 times, he's efficient. He gets through innings averaging around 10 to 15 pitches. He gets you deep into ball games, which is helpful when your bullpen struggles as much as the Nationals one does.
And I think, as we begin to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067, that to me is what, I don't know. I looked at the injuries that they've had here to the starting pitchers and not knowing the severity, I'll be real. I think that is what kind of led me to say that. But the bullpen, right, obviously needs help. But I will say this. If they're going to be hitting the baseball the way that they are, and the way that they have over the past 6-7 games, they're going to be just fine. And it's such a sense of relief. It's so refreshing, I guess, is the best way that I can put it. Because last year, what was the major struggle of this team? They couldn't hit the ball consistently. To start this year, I've been really, really excited about it, man. 1-800-636-1067. I told myself, and I forgot, I said I'd do it to lead the show. Ben, I didn't even mention this when I walked in because I was listening to your boy on the way in. I was cranking some Carter Son walking in. So I got distracted. So I didn't get to say to you what I wanted to say to you. Nats fans, we're down 1 run in the top of the 8th inning. And as I'm coming up the escalator at Navy Yard, people are leaving. Where the hell are you all going? Why'd you buy a ticket if you weren't going to stay and rally with the fellas?
I'll never forget when I went to the NLDS in 2016 with my dad. We were sitting up in the upper decks. A couple first innings go by. It's the 3rd inning.
Yeah.
And there are people still coming through the gate. And we're like, where have these people been? It's a playoff baseball game. You probably spent a bunch of money to be here. Why are you showing up in the 3rd inning?
It's crazy. There's no way. Knowing what the gate is for a playoff game, it's no way I'm just missing 3 innings of baseball. 100%. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Austin and Raleigh once to chime in. Austin, I pick up what you're about to put down. It just got popped the phone screen up, Ben. On the board. Austin, what's going on, brother?
How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good. The thing that bothers me about Nats fans right now is they see some of these pot-hitting experiences and they're thinking this team is poised to compete and be top of the division. We're still developing. I mean,
they're also in a damn good division, too, Austin.
Yeah. I mean, minus the Braves, who for some reason aren't playing well. But
yeah, I know. It's very random, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but fans need to lower expectations and understand this is developmental. I mean, you're seeing these younger hitters actually doing what they're supposed to be doing and getting better. They're not going to be great. And the pitching staff, I mean, they're going to do what they did, you know, 5-6 years ago and trade for a star pitcher or two and really revamp that. But fans need to understand this is not a competitive team. It's all about developmental right now, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I agree, man. Do you have, and we're going to get to this as we roll throughout the show here. It's a sinister question, I'll admit it. But the first thing that comes to my mind when I see CJ with a leadoff homer today, when James Wood homers twice yesterday, is, it's going to suck when they're in a Yankee uniform in a few years from now. Does that come to the top of your mind?
Is Bob's the team?
You segued as perfect, Austin. I appreciate your call as always, brother. We need to hire Austin in here. 1-800-636-1067. 106.7. Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Monumental Sports Network, Wizards, Caps, Mystics. He joined Grant and Danny yesterday and had, excuse me, 2 days ago and had something to say about, or gave an update, rather, on him and his interest when it comes to buying the Washington Nationals. We'll play that for you next here on The Fan.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
+1 800 636 1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. Talking all things Washington Nationals. Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, our pal Bobby Blanco, Masson.com, going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on, you know, this really good stretch of play from the Washington Nationals. Season got off to a bumpy start. They dropped the first game in the series against the Diamondbacks, and then they went on to win four in a row. The winning streak got snapped earlier this afternoon by the LA Dodgers. They lost 6-5. We were talking about it. Excuse me. Talking about the start of the segment. Really stellar outing from Jake Irvin. Obviously got off to a rough start in the first, giving up four, but then he goes on to retire 18-21 batters. Can't really ask much more out of him than that. You know, what I hope, and what gets me with them, and look, I'll be fully transparent here. I am consuming baseball more now than I ever have in my life, I would say. So, and last year, I'll be real, like, once they, remember there was that point in time last year where they were like four games out of the wild card spot. There was a time last year where they owned one of the wild card spots. After they fell behind the eight ball there, I kind of checked out. But I think some of the things that were true about last year in terms of like talking points and what has to happen this year is very much the same, right? You saw really good flashes last year out of both Mackenzie Gore and Jake Irvin. The consistency, though, over the duration of the season is what ultimately became their undoing. And for as good as Mackenzie Gore has looked to start, for as good as, I know Mitch Parker's had a couple of good outings, as good as all these guys have looked, the consistency is the big thing. And when you look at the youth of their starting pitchers, like, I think you can expect that. So I'm not too worried about it. But it's also something that I'll be monitoring throughout the year. The one other thing is this, and we were talking about this before we hit the break. We're at a point right now where you should be thrilled with what you're seeing. Abrams taking a step. James Wood looking really good right now. K-Bear Ruiz, quite literally one of the best hitters in the Major League Baseball right now. I don't know. I think I was looking it up earlier. It's got like the 16th best batting average in all of the majors right now. Damn good when you consider how much of a struggle bus last year was. So it's going to be interesting. Like, seeing guys like that, you know, take a step forward is huge. Dylan Cruz, Jacob Young. Now, I know, you know, J.Y. didn't have a hit today, but was he in the lineup today? So they put him in as a pinch run. Okay. So, look, that's what it's about, though. It's about, will the young guys continue to take steps forward? I think our last caller that we had kind of hit it on the head, but I feel like a mean sports radio guy when I say it. Are we putting too many expectations on this group?
I think we might be.
Are the expectations too high?
Last year, I had a conversation with our buddy Tim Kirchin, and I asked him about expectations for the Nationals. What should fans expect? And he said, this is just another year. It's a year about development. It's about seeing James Wood come to the big leagues. It's about seeing Mackenzie Gore become a team's number one starter. And so far now, we're getting the full year of James Wood, and the bat heats up
for him. Off to a crazy start.
It's a couple of long bombs yesterday, yeah, in the cold, too, which is...
which is even crazier when you think about it. It was, 42 degrees?
The first one yesterday, on a hot summer day, that's 15 rows back, because he flipped the bat. He knew instantly that he had got it, and it still barely got out because of the cold and the wind. But if I had to talk to Kirchin again, he'd probably say the exact same thing. Now, vice versa, it's about these guys developing more and more. Abrams power numbers up right now, which is great to see considering how his season ended last year, a really bad second half, and then all the stuff that happened.
He's got his mind right. You know what I'm saying? That's what I attribute
it to. He came in with a good attitude this offseason. I was really worried that after what had happened, what would go through his head? Would he be able to show up to Jupiter and lock in? And he absolutely did that.
Especially being that young, knowing the conversation that was swirling around him, it would have been very easy to tuck his tail and go, you're right, I have a problem.
I remember they asked Davey in the offseason about his status, and he made a comment, something along the lines of, and I haven't really talked to him that much. He's kind of hard to get a hold of. And everyone was like, what do you mean it's hard to get a hold of your starting shortstop?
Because
does he not pick up the phone?
He's so locked in on his training and getting better that he's got the phone on D&D.
That's right. That's clearly that is the answer
Hopefully that's what he meant. He's off to a rocking start here to start this year. So super excited about that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Before we get out to the phones, I want to let you all hear from the owner of Monumental Sports, Ted Leonsis. He joined Grant and Danny 2 days ago and gave this update when it comes to buying the Washington Nationals.
I'm forever interested, but the season started, and that should be a signal that, when the season starts, that the Lerner family is very committed and the team's really not for sale. The news on the network was a surprise. The media was reporting, a logical place would be for it to, for the Nats to come next season onto our network. But for those of us who are aware of what's going on in the local media space, there's not really an opportunity to pay another team on our network because we're not going to get additional dollars, at least not next year. So it was, this is a Rubik's Cube that still needs to be solved. And I think where the Lerner family is, and we haven't had active conversations, is they're rebuilding the team. They're excited about the team. The new season has started. They don't want any rumors, any hoopla about corporate developments. They want to focus on the team, and I totally understand that and respect that. Mark Lerner came to the game when Alex scored 2 goals, met Wayne Gretzky. I mean, we're close friends. I love the family. I'm going to be here. We'll keep the lights on, but there's nothing active going on, and, I'm going to go out and buy season tickets for the Nationals. It's hard to go to games, when Caps are still in season, Wizards are still in season. But I look forward to going and checking out the team, and, I enjoy going to baseball games. So I'm interested, but it doesn't seem right now that they're that interested, and I totally understand why.
Well, I'll be real with you, Nats fans. Probably the worst news you could possibly get, that the Lerners are not interested in selling, and here's why. Every C.J. Abrams homer, every James Wood homer, every time Dylan Cruz makes a star-studded catch in the outfield, that price is going up. And I wonder, we saw it with Bryce, saw it with Soto, some of the other young pups, will they be able to keep this young core intact? Because it's fun, right? Going out and, having the number one ranked farm system in the majors, like, all that is cute, is how I describe it. What needs to happen is the Lerners need to move with some foresight here. Dangle the carrot in front of them now. Seriously. Because, look, after this year, and I'm not uber familiar wall-to-wall with the rules of the CBA and Major League Baseball in terms of when these discussions can start, but I do know that I think Mastin reported it, and we'll ask Bobby Blanco when he comes on. I think Mastin reported it before the season that they had the Nationals had conversations with C.J. Abrams and his representatives. Great. Needs to be more than just conversation, though, at this point. I think you really got to have an eye towards keeping these guys long-term, because what you don't want this fan base to become is apathetic, right? I think people understand the current state of the team, and the attendance numbers have been god-awful. I didn't see what they were today. But I think fans understand where the team is in terms of their rebuild. They understand that the focus is on the young pups, like we've been alluding to, watching their growth and development. But how many young stars is this organization going to lose before the fan base completely gives up on our ability to re-sign guys long-term?
It's just interesting that you bring this up, Linnell, because I broke this all down at one point last year where I went year by year and saw what the Nationals' payroll was in comparison to everyone else in the MLB. So when the franchise moved to D.C. in 2005, all the way through 2012, none of those teams made the playoffs. They were around bottom 10 almost every single year. And then once they were finally competitive, so 2012, they won 98 games, which was a little bit surprising at the time.
Is that when they went out and got Gio, I think? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So 2014, on all the way until they won a championship in 2019, they were top 10 in payroll every year, with as high as being 5 in 2018 with $181 million payroll. So I don't know if that blueprint is the same thing here. Are we seeing the rebuild for the first 5 years and then the learners are going to go out and spend all the money when they believe this team is ready? Or are they kind of still coasting through this thing right now?
So they gave a quote. I think Mark Lerner gave a quote to the Washington Post. I think you were producing the show when we did that, Ben. Earlier, right before spring training started, going, look, like, we hear the noise about the fans wanting us to be more active in the winter months and bringing in some guys. But, like, we've got to have a reason to go spend. And I think this is why I said this year there was a lot of pressure, in my opinion. And maybe pressure is the wrong word, on James Wood and Dylan Cruz and C.J. Abrams and K-Bear. Because if they don't show progress, they're not going to spend. Point blank, period. 1-800-636-1067. We've seen the hot start the C.J. Abrams and James Wood have got off to. Any concern amongst you Nats fans that they won't be here long term? We'll take your calls on that next. This is The Fan. The number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willigan. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Plenty more to get to. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, our pal Bobby Blanco, Nats insider from Masson.com, he's going to join the program. We'll ask him the same question we're asking you. And I'm sure Bobby will give a much more politically correct answer and try to kind of walk the tightrope a little bit, and I get it. But I'll be real here. And I know our guy Ben Strober just gave us the numbers on the Nationals' payroll from 2012 to 2019 when they won the World Series. There is thought, though, amongst this fan base, and I think everybody that feels this way is completely justified. There is some thought that, man, it's great, right, seeing James Wood, first full years in the majors. He's going to take a massive step forward. C.J. Abrams leading off looks massively better in terms of power coming off the bat. He's getting better. Dylan Cruz making, you know, highlight plays in the outfield. K-Bear Ruiz getting his swagger back, confidence back in terms of hitting the ball. But will you be able to retain your young talent? Right, at some point, Robert Hassel is going to be called up here. And he's, if it's anything like the way the spring went, you guys are going to love Robert Hassel. But he gets called up. Do you begin to worry, like, will the learners in this team be able to retain the young talent? Because I'll be real, and I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer here. It is what's on the front of my mind. And I guess that's me being, or suffering from SLS, as I like to call it, scoring lover syndrome. I've seen this before. We've done this song and dance with this group. Look at the Philadelphia Phillies. They're our team, right? Like, we've done this before. So, like, look at Juan out in New York with the Mets. Like, we've been here. It stings, especially after you stink for a period of time and earn the right to take these players as high as you did. Then to lose them to another team right after they begin to show major promise. And with James Wood, like, I don't want to hyperbolize it. I obviously got a little bit of bias towards him. Ben does as well, because we're Montgomery County guys. Slim looks like he is going to be an MVP caliber player year in and year out. Like, he is legit. He's got the goods. Had a really bomb catch yesterday. He's good on defense. Runs the bags well. And that's what's really been the most surprising thing with me. And that's because I need to get my seam knowledge. I need to become more of a seam head. I still am mesmerized watching him run the base paths, because His legs are so long, the strides are so big, that he doesn't even look like he's moving very fast. But he is moving.
Grant Paulson was on live yesterday on Instagram, so I tapped in, I commented, I said, Grant, James, 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, lock it in, it's coming. And he goes, yeah, totally, Strober, I believe it, I see it. He said his only concern was maybe later in his career, you don't see him steal as many bags because the wear and tear that comes with trying to swipe that. Bags. Yeah. He said it like kind of a similar situation with Aaron Judge in his career. Obviously, he's hitting his 55 home runs a year, so you know you don't want him out of the lineup by any means. And Wood is kind of awkward when he slides sometimes in a second because he's so damn long.
Yeah, but he's huge, bro. 1-800-636-1067. Any concern out there amongst Nats fans that some of this young talent will be in New York sooner rather than later or another team? Scott in Silver Spring. What's going on, Scott?
Hey, man, how you doing, bud?
Good, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm a little concerned, but I just like to think back to how this all started, and I really like the learners as owners because they hired a good baseball person to run everything, and then it started with Worth, and then we had all those number one draft picks, Strasburg.
Go get Gio, you end up with Max.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you get Scherzer, and then, you know, you get the trade for Turner, and everything was going good, and they dumped money into it. I think what really turned things around was COVID hit. We won the World Series.
I know. They didn't get to monetize the way a World Series champion normally gets to. I give them that.
Yeah, and then they started dumping the pieces off, and I'm hoping once these young guys start to progress that they see – there's the possibility of going where we were, start adding some veteran pieces, and we go back to where we were. If they're going to do that, I'm happy with them holding on to the team. But, you know, I know the TV deal had to hold things up when they did want to sell. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know that Leontes is the answer.
Leontes got the money, right? But after he gave Brad Beal a no-trade clause, his decision-making to me is a wee bit questionable. And how long he hung on to Ernie Grunfeld, wee bit questionable.
Yeah, I mean, if he keeps Rizzo and he lets Rizzo run the show.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fine. And I mean, we see, like, with the Commanders, the one-year turnaround.
Yeah, it's possible.
You hire people that know what they're doing to run the organization. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you should be making decisions.
Right.
You know, as far as players and so forth. You know, I get it. You're writing the check. So.
Yeah, for sure. Scott, appreciate you chiming in as always, brother, man. Enjoy the rest of your night, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to talk all things Washington Nationals as we ease our way into the 9 o'clock hour. About Bobby Blanco, Nats insider from Aston.com, joins us next. +1 800-636-1067, the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. Tapped into the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. We'll take you up to 11 o'clock. Top of the 10 o'clock hour, about an hour and change from now, we'll switch gears and talk all things NFL. Our pal Justin Mello, one of the lead draft analysts for the Draft Network, going to join us 15 days out from night one of the NFL draft. Commanders currently own the number 29 overall pick. We will see whether or not they stick and pick or choose to trade back. We'll talk all things NFL draft with our pal Justin Mello. Right now, quick update for you on the Washington Wizards. They're up, or trailing rather, 78-74, 2:37 left to go in the third quarter. We gave you the inactives before the game started, both of these teams. More so the Sixers than the Wizards, though. Should be ashamed of themselves. You want to talk about tanking? This is a full-blown war being waged over at Cap One Arena. We'll keep you up to speed on that all night long. Right now, though, I want to continue to talk all things Washington Nationals. To do so, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show. We find our pal Bobby Blanco, Nats insider from Masson.com. You can give him a follow on the old X app at Bobby_Blanco. What's going on, Bobby? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me, Linnell. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you making some time for us, man. Obviously, today, tough. You would have loved to get the sweep against LA, but I think this six-game homestand has really opened the eyes of a lot of folks when it comes to this group, and we know the messaging, and I applauded them for it, by the way, Bobby. The messaging coming out of spring training was, hey, you know, a lot of people outside of this organization may not think we're ready to go compete for potentially a wild card spot, but that's the mentality that we have within these walls. How has this six-game homestand kind of lended itself to what they were selling coming out of camp?
Yeah, definitely, especially after the way the Nats started this season. You know, they went 1-6. It was a rough start. Obviously, you only take one game out of three against the Phillies opening weekend, and then you get swept in Toronto, and it's kind of like, oh, boy.
Yeah, got late fast.
Yeah, it did. And then you also have some injuries coming up, too, you know, with some pitches. They did have some good news coming out of camp and then in that first week, so it's like, uh-oh. But credit to Dave Martinez, the players in that locker room and the coaching staff, they didn't hang their heads. They all kept saying, we think we're right there. Like, we've been in these games. Like, we think we can turn this around. And if I would have told you that they're going to go 4-2 against the Diamondbacks and Dodgers, I think anyone would take that, right? Oh, so that's a huge, huge weekend or homestand for them. They had a chance to sweep the defending World Series champion Dodgers today. Didn't pull it out. They were a couple of outs away from pulling it off. They fall down 4-0 early in the first, rallied to come and take the lead in the third. Can't quite hold on, but you still got to like what you saw from this team over the past 6 days. And to do it against the Dodgers, I mean, the entire world.
It's a little bit extra
world,
sauce on it, man. I'm telling you, it means a little bit more.
Well, no, it definitely does, because the entire world watches every time one of these players sneezes.
Like, you know, for sure.
The press box all weekend long, the Nats PR team was like kind of scrambling, preparing for the media frenzy that follows this team.
Yeah.
The entire press box, I don't know if you've been out to the press box at Nats Park, it's huge. And every seat was filled.
Wow.
So they've got a huge contingency following this team, rightfully so. You know, they have the superstar international talent in right. Shohei, and, you know, they're defending World Series champs. They're in a major market in L.A. But for this team, for the Nationals to then beat them 2 out of 3 and for James Wood to come out and almost perform better than Shohei, you know, I think they showed a lot what a lot of people around here were hoping to see, maybe were expecting to see, but I think they also showed the baseball world that, like, hey, this is not just, you know, the Nationals of 2022, 2023. You're going to, you know, just push us over. No, we're here to win ball games. We're going to play tough, and we got some talent.
Yeah, for sure. I know the growth and development of the young pups is what a lot of us will be, you know, looking for as the season rolls on here. Wins and losses to me, not the biggest thing because, you know, good start, but you wonder how long they can keep it up. But hopefully they make me look like an idiot, and this is something that's consistent throughout the year. It would have been really a ace-like outing from Jake Irvin if you could just erase the first inning where he gives up 4 runs to the 4 first hitters that he faces, then goes on to retire 18 of the next 21. What does his outing today say about his resilience and, you know, how much you can count on him, you know, as we go throughout the regular season?
Yeah, I know you, like, want to erase the first inning.
It's hard.
But I honestly think keeping it in there and putting that in the context makes his outing even more impressive. Yeah. The fact that he went down 4-0 in the first, got bat around. I mean, this is one of the best lineups in baseball, so there's no shame in that happening against the Dodgers. But the fact that he then bounced back and came and pitched 6 strong innings, those 5 innings he followed after that first were really solid. And I really like the way he finished the outing, getting a strikeout at the end there, finished with 7. I think that really shows a lot about Jake Irvin. Look, I think Jake right now, I mean, a lot of people project him to be kind of a middle of the rotation. You know, if the Nationals had a full rotation like they used to of, you know, the Scherzers and Strasburgs of old, I think you're looking at a guy like Mackenzie Gore being like the ace of the staff. Mm-hmm. He just has elite stuff. And a lot of people project Jake Irvin to be like, you know, maybe a third or fourth starter in a really, really good rotation. But I always think that Jake has a potential to be that number two starter kind of guy because he is the complete opposite of what Mackenzie Gore is in a good way. Like Mackenzie Gore is a lot of flash stuff. When he is on, you're not touching him. Throws from the left side. Jake, of course, is a right-hander, so it's a complete opposite in that aspect. But Jake is more of a bulldog. He's going to wear you down. He doesn't have high velocity like Mackenzie does, but you know, if he gets his timing down and his placement of his pitches, he can really wear down a lineup. He's not going to have the strikeout numbers, but You know, typically we saw last year. He had a couple of dominant outings.
Yes.
Over the course of last summer, and he can be a guy that I think can give this team a lot of innings and a lot of quality starts. And more often than not, I think he's giving this team a chance. I really like the way that Jake bounced back from this first inning tonight. I think that says a lot about him and how his character and how he likes to compete.
For sure. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Bobby, the issue with, and maybe issue is a strong word, but for Jake and McKenzie last year, obviously saw what their potential could possibly be. But with them being, you know, as young as they are, not super duper experienced, do you worry about the consistency over, you know, the course of a regular season?
Yeah, I think that's a concern for any young pitcher, any young player, really. It's because, you know, 162 is a grind. I think a lot of people don't realize, and a lot of these young guys don't realize the grind of it when they come up. I mean, yeah, they play minor league, they play long college seasons, and, you know, it is tough, but 162, man, every single day you're playing against the best of the best. It grinds on you. It is hard. Baseball is not an easy sport to begin with.
Right.
And then you're playing every day for, 5 months against the best players in the world. So, you know, I think consistency is a huge part of their next step. Like I said, Jake and McKenzie, too, showed flashes last year that they have the stuff that they can be top-level starters in this league. You know, some of the really, really good outings were really impressive. Some of their bad outings were kind of head scratchers and, you know, kind of not fun to watch. But if they can put together a complete season, I think you're looking at two guys that can lead this rotation in the future. And keep in mind, too, like every year that they're pitching more innings than they ever have. It's not like when the Nationals, you know, back in 2015 signed Max Scherzer and he was already used to pitching 250, 280 innings a year.
Right.
You know, these guys, every single year that they've been up here, are pitching more and more innings. So it does kind of wear on them. I think the key is to see how strong they can be near the end of the season. They've shown that they can be strong at the beginning, middle part of the year. But once those dog days of August hits, man, like, you got to be able to power through, dig deep, and finish strong. McKenzie did last year. Jake struggled a little bit, but I think he finished on a high note as well. They're carrying it over to this year, but can they keep it going throughout the course of their careers and this season? That remains to be seen.
Joined right now by Bobby Blanco, Nats insider from Masson.com. Give him a follow on the X app at Bobby_Blanco. CJ Abrams, 4 homers since last Wednesday, and he's missed a few games. How impressed are you with him, considering the way last year ended and, you know, being able to put that behind him and really off to a really strong start this year?
Yeah, very impressed. You know, we all know the talent that this kid brought. It was why he was part of that group of prospects that came over for Juan Soto and Josh Bell. You know, it was, you know, like we've been saying with a lot of these young guys, it's all about him putting it all together at once, right? And, you know, we've been kind of waiting for that. He was an all-star last year, deservedly so, really struggled in the second half. And, of course, the way that the season ended at the end of last year, you know, you don't want to see that. But I've been really impressed, you know, seeing CJ around the clubhouse, around the team, how he's kind of put that behind him, how the team has put that behind him. Look, they had the tough conversations. They did everything they needed to do in-house. They kept it in-house as they should, and they're ready to move on. And I think the way that CJ has come out and played this year shows that he's kind of like maybe on a redemption tour here. Like, he's out to show that, hey, I'm not, you know, the kid that messed up near the end of last season when things weren't going my way. I'm here to play ball. I'm here to be an all-star. I'm here to be this team's shortstop of the future. And, you know, ideally one of the catalysts of this offense. And like you said, you know, the leadoff homer today, you know, he's already, think of how little time he's been with the Nationals.
Right.
He's already tied for second with the most leadoff homers in Nationals history, trailing only Trey Turner.
Damn.
And he's going to catch him, you know, maybe by the end of the year.
That's a hell of a nugget you just dropped, Bobby. I didn't even realize that. Wow.
Yeah, 9 leadoff home runs for CJ in a Nationals uniform, and this is only going to be his 3rd full season. And Trey Turner had 14 in, you know, however many years he was here, 2017 through 21 and halfway through 21. So CJ's catching him quickly. And so, like, he has that potential. We see the flashy defense he can make. If he can reel in, like, and make the routine plays on a routine basis, that's going to be good to see. If, you know, if he can be the guy that also hits 20 doubles to go along with his 30 home runs, that's going to be huge as well. So, it's a matter of it all coming together. I really like the attitude that him and the club have this year after last year's ended. So all things are looking up for CJ.
C.J. Abrams, James Wood, K-Bear Ruiz, Dylan Cruz, Robert Hassel when he comes up. When it comes to these young pups, we were discussing this before we brought you on, Bobby. Do you think it's fair if there are Nats fans out there that have concern of, okay, we're seeing these youngins play well, but it's only a matter of time before they're in someone else's uniform?
Yeah, I think it's totally fair. You know, growing up in the area, following the team, being a fan of the team before I was covering them, you know, we had data points, right? Like, you just have so many data points to point to that all, like, Trey Turner is one of them, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, of course, is a major one. You know, a lot of these young stars that they drafted or signed and developed or traded for in the sense of Trey Turner and it became superstars with this team are no longer here. And, you know, I think that's a fair point to point at. And I get if there are fans that are hesitant to, you know, go buy a C.J. Abrams jersey because, oh, he's going to be gone by the time he's a free agent anyways. You know, I would just say, like, that is so far away at this point. Like, all of these guys are still on their rookie deals. I think, like, Luis Garcia Jr., C.J., I think they're just on the front part of their arbitration, part of their contract.
And I think, you guys report earlier this summer that they had, you know, briefly opened up talks with, you know, CJ's representation? I don't know if I saw
that.
So
I think that was, I don't think this was this past offseason. I think that was the offseason heading into last year. Like 23 going into 24. Because it was two springs ago that they extended K.B. Ruiz. You know, he's here for at least eight years, possibly 10. And so the idea was after CJ finished, I guess, 23 very strong, going to 24, they were trying to do the same. It didn't come to fruition, but it has been, I think, discussed behind the scenes. I get fans' hesitation. I think the Nationals would kind of understand that as well. Like I said, we had data points that, you know, there are stars that have been here in the younger part of their careers and then have moved on. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast. That's the way that this team has operated. And that's not good or bad either way. That's just the way it is. And, but, you know, you have K-Bear signed long-term. You have this window now with all these guys under contract and the young part of their careers for, you know, the next 5, 6, 7 years. Hopefully they all come together. They, you know, can be competitive, be exciting, compete, maybe win a World Series, mess around, win a World Series, who knows? But also, you know, for the fans, I get that you hope that some of these guys, you know, sign a long-term extension and stay here, like you just saw Vladdy Jr. do with the Blue Jays.
For sure. Bobby, appreciate you joining us as always, my friend. Enjoy the road trip, brother.
Yeah, heading on to Miami. Thanks, Linnell. Really appreciate you having me on.
Yes, indeed. We'll do it again soon. That is Bobby Blanco, one of the absolute best, talking all things Washington Nationals. Nats Insider from Aston.com. Give him a follow on the X app at Bobby_Blanco. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the last home game of the season for the Washington Wizards. They're playing host to the Philadelphia 76ers. Plus, we'll get into a little bit of say what the craziest audio from the night that was. That's next. They're on The Fan.